Hello everyone and welcome back to the Computer Vision in Production podcast show. The podcast show where we talk all about everything computer vision, from the individual components of the technology including vision, cameras and deep learning, right through to hearing about some of the most interesting applications that companies are using at the moment. Hello everyone and welcome to the Computer Vision in Production podcast. I'm your host Anthony Kelly. Today's guest on the show is Thibaut Lucas, the co-founder and CEO of a very exciting company, merging computer vision and ML Ops, CV Ops as they're calling it, and it's a French startup called Pixelia. So, Thibaut, great to have you on the show. Really looking forward to hearing about you, your story. I mean, ML Ops is great, but CV Ops. Looking forward to hearing it.
Well, thank you very much for having me today. And I'm super excited to be here and talk about CV Ops.
Good. Look, I guess before we start talking about Pixelia, what you guys have been doing, and let's start off with you. Give us your background. What's led you to being a co-founder, and I guess your background to even pre-computer vision, leading then into ML.
Yeah, right. So I'm 26 years old. I did an engineering school in France, in the southwest of France, a school called ANSET. And I studied sound and image processing. So that's how I got into computer vision, basically, because I learned how to process sound, basically for voice recognition and all of this, and also image recognition. Could be like, let's say, classified computer vision, but also deep learning based and AI. And my co-founder, Pierre Nicolas, is also coming from the same school and studied the same engineering degree as me. So yeah, that's how we got into, let's say, AI, deep learning and computer vision at the beginning. It was from the school.
Nice. Did you go into your degree expecting to come out in CV Ops or even computer vision?
To be 100% honest, I entered the school to study sound mostly, not really images, to be honest. And really shortly, I realized that studying sound is a lot of time correlated to studying spectrogram, which are images. So at the end, I was studying image processing through sound processing. So yeah. It was not really the beginning of the story for me, but at the end, I ended up like studying a lot about computer vision.
Nice. Yeah, it's really cool. So you weren't coming in, and I say this because I've interviewed a lot of people from Berlin. They get into machine learning in music. You know, you've got robotic DJs, you've got generative adversarial networks, which are writing songs that have been entered. Am I right in saying that song got entered into Eurovision?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So you are coming in for a completely different type of sound background to move into the sort of computer vision element of machine learning.
Well, we started by studying like electronics or like all the controllers around sound for like DJs and like amplifier and all of these. And then we had to study how to understand sound for like voice recognition or even like speech to text processes. So yeah, we kind of like studied a lot around sound, could be like understanding the sound, but also producing it before going into images.
Nice. So kind of like going towards like a sound synthesis to match up.
To match the
sound. The sound meets the video. I mean, I guess it's I've seen companies that are doing it, and that's the difficult part of that is that if someone says, wow, you know, you've got to have the emphasis in the voice and the emphasis in the actual video, the expressions to come across very similar.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky, to be honest. I saw a few products trying to solve this type of issues, but it's kind of an interesting field. I'm not sure it's quite resolved yet.
Yeah, I guess it gives, it's true. Will we say it would be like trying to give an AI an emotion? Not that it would feel an emotion, but an emotion response.
Yeah.
Cool. So then tell us, Pixelia, you were studying sound, you went towards computer vision. Where did CV Ops ML meet here?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a funny story because when we were students with Pierre Nicolas, we had to do an internship in another country and we went to Malaysia and we had to study, we were like doing research around like solar panels and things like that. But we have so much time to, let's say, do some stuff on our own. And we started by creating some pretty classical computer vision products around like mobile apps, a lot of these. It was back in 2018, I think. We created apps like you could take a photo of your fridge and they would like give you all the recipes for the plates that you could make from the ingredients you had in your fridge or things like that. It was like shitty product, but like helped us understand what were the processes that you need to go through when you are creating computer vision projects. And we saw that every time we had the same struggle, like, do I have data? Where is my data? What architecture I'm going to use when my model is in production, how can I be sure it's working well? All of these things that are kind of common to all the computer vision projects. So we decided to, instead of creating one computer vision project, we could create a tool that would help computer vision engineers to develop their own product. And well, that was the beginning of the story of Pixelia. Obviously, back in 2018, the main struggle was data labeling and data collection. So we started by these types of features. Pixelia originally was a labeling tool for, let's say, 3 or 4 months. And then we started to expand the features to be, and let's say, an all-in-one platform for all the lifecycle of the projects.
Interested. I didn't know you started as a data labeling tool. I mean, to give a bit more context to it, were you doing automatic data labeling, or was it that you would do manual and then sort of active learning on the rest? Or where was the sort of value that you could bring on the data labeling?
Yeah, the idea was to transfer some techniques that we are using NLP for computer vision. It's called like co-training. But we ended up stopping this because we saw that it was really not efficient for computer vision. You basically had to train the model more time than you would spend in labeling. So it was really the end. But yeah, that was the starting point. And then we also created some semi-automatic features around segmentation. Like nowadays, you can find these features in mostly all the labeling tools, I think. Like everyone is doing AI-powered labeling tool. But back in 2018-19, you had a little bit less tools that were proposing this type of features. But at the end, we concluded that it's most of the time better to have one really, really robust labeling tool without any automation than OK tool with automations. So we stopped this and decided to just create a classical tool that we work all the time, basically.
Yeah, because look, being in this space, I would say it's a very, like, a labeling tool is a very competitive market. You know, not only are you coming up against AI tools, you're coming up against cheap resources in low-cost centers. And now even today, there's companies who are giving you fully labeled databases that they've built using GANs that come ready-made. So it was a very good move. And I'm pretty sure you probably didn't even know what you were doing at the time. Like, you were going into a space that wasn't yet created.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I still believe that the labeling market is quite interesting because I don't think that any company that really like cracked the code, let's say, for labeling. So I think we might find a new company popping up, like killing the labeling tool market. But yeah, I'm not sure we are the company that will do it. And we are mainly focusing on the next step of the tool chain, basically, at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very difficult thing to say. Is the labels the most important thing? I mean, a lot of people, depending on the product, would say, let's put something out there. Let's check its performance and then maybe go back to labels, go back to the training data set to see what works and improves from there. So I think where yous are now is helping people get to the next stage before they might even reevaluate it is again, a lot more valuable.
Well, yeah, that's the, let's say, the philosophy of Pixelia. It's really to, like, we are actually saying to people, if you have poor model, it's all right. If you have a really clear strategy to how to improve it, basically, and a clear strategy to improve it is really to pull more training data, but like smartly and not just labeling millions of images at one time, but mostly picking the right images to add to training sets iteratively and improve your model that way. That's the whole philosophy of Pixelia.
So let's talk about Pixelia now. Let's talk about what you guys are doing now a little bit more under the hood. And first thing I will say, put a big emphasis on CV Ops, being a CV Ops platform. What is CV Ops? And I know, look, it's computer vision ops, but if you can kind of give us your philosophy of what you see CV Ops being.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing is, at the moment, everyone is talking about machine learning operations, but people were doing machine learning operations way before we were calling it that way, I believe. The thing is, you have so many tools for, let's say, classical MLOps, so purely data science and all of this, but they are lacking one big thing, which is computer vision is mostly visualization and visual tasks. So that's the whole point of the CV Ops, is really to have, let's say, the same tool chain as MLOps, but purely thought for images and videos. And it changes a lot in the product, basically, because you have to put a real emphasis on the data visualization, but also the prediction visualization, and also the monitoring that we are going to do on your models will be clearly different from a classical machine learning model, because you would have to put way more emphasis on the hardware and also the data that you are monitoring. Because most of the models in computer vision are running at the edge. So you need to monitor the hardware and also the shift in the hardware, in addition with your data and the performance of your models. And as the world is shifting quite quickly, you also really need to take care of the data drift, a little bit more than the concept drift, to be honest, in computer vision. So the whole point of CV Ops is really just to propose tools that would be entirely dedicated to computer vision, so people don't have to ask themselves, is this tool relevant for computer vision or not? And be sure that they will only access to the tools that are, let's say, efficient to monitor and manage computer vision models in production.
Nice. And you can do that on the edge device. So you can, I mean, if someone has a model and they need to track the performance of it and they need to do techniques like pruning, quantization on the edge to get the maximum image process that they need to get the input that the model wants, yous are able to manage and monitor all that information through the edge device.
Well, the tricky thing about edge is you are, most of the time, you are offline. You are not connected to the internet. So the tricky part is to create some asynchronous feedback loop. So you have to create some processes that will store the prediction and the data in some efficient way that you could send back to a monitoring solution like Pixelia when you access internet. So that's one thing. About the quantization and pruning, we are not providing some model optimization tools. I think there are companies out there really, really dedicated to this, and it's really hardware specific. So for us, it's kind of complicated to do. But we will mainly intervene after you optimize your model and is running in production to give you tools to store the predictions and monitor them asynchronously when you get access to the internet. That's the main thing about Edge, which is kind of tricky.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky to do those things by themselves as well. Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, we start off, look, I'm a company, I have an autonomous driving platform, I've unsupervised neural networks running through and all the basic models for, you know, pedestrian detection, lane detection, traffic light, traffic sign, you know, you name it. I wanna start working with you guys. I wanna see where I am. I wanna bring in an ML op stack to my CV op stack to my environment. What happens? What do we do? How does that look like? And where do I start to see benefits?
Well, I think for us the first step is always about the data. So we will connect to your cloud storage. You will obviously give us some restricted access, only read access. The first thing that we do is we perform a lot of embeddings, extraction around your images to allow you to perform like visual search and all of this. You will also import your datasets and annotations so we can compute some statistical repartition of your datasets and then be able to compute drifts and outlier detection on your models trained on these datasets. Other thing would be to import your existing model if you want to centralize everything. And then the first thing that you would get would be data visualization, versioning, and exploration, because you would be able to like search through the embeddings, but also the metadata that you already have on your data. So you could say, okay, show me the pictures that looks like these, but also by night and have more than 5 cars on the images. That's quite cool if you want to create some set models or things like that. You also get all the versioning of your data sets. That's quite cool. You will always keep the training of the models because we are not here to replace the data sets, mostly to assist them. So you would be able to use Pixelia to store your experiment, compare them, perform hyperparameter tuning, this type of thing, but you will keep the code. Then access some registry to store and version your models also. And the cool thing, which is the last thing, would be to monitor your model in production and create some automated pipeline. Because one cool thing about having one platform is once you have all your data sets, all your models, and all your deployment in one place, you can automate the retraining of your models if you have a smart feedback loop. It means that, let's say you have a model detecting pedestrian inside your car, and through the monitoring, you realize that by night, your model is performing poorly. You will be able to extract the images that were predicted by night, then use the prediction as a pre-annotation, and then involve maybe a labeling company that will do it for you, or they do it internally to modify the annotations. And when you accept them, you put them in your training set, and you can create some automated workflow that would say, for every new 1,000 images that you reviewed and added to this dataset, I want to launch a training with this architecture and compare the performances with the past models I had in production. And if the new model is better than the other one, you will put this new model in production. So the whole point is really to have an iterative process that will, one, give you all the information about your data and your models, and two, allow you to improve your model over time easily. So that's the whole point. But the real starting point will always be the data, because without this, we won't be able to compute metrics like outlier score or drift detection on your, let's say, production data that your model are predicting.
Okay. You gave a nice example there of like the model underperforming at nighttime. How would you recommend the company looks to even begin to see if their model is underperforming before they work with someone like you? Or how far do they need to be gone to say, right, look, we're not that we're screwed, but we could be in trouble here?
Well, it's kind of a tricky question, because by definition, if you don't have any means to know how your model is performing, you cannot say that your model is underperforming. So it's quite tricky to answer. I think one way is really like the visual inspection way. For example, if you have a computer vision model running inside the software something, you will definitely put a confidence threshold on your models. That's for sure. Like, you cannot display all the predictions. So one way would be to compute the, let's say, the entropy of the predictions based on a certain threshold. But it's quite of like really not scientific way to do it. To be honest, if you don't have any monitoring solution, it's quite hard to know if your model is performing well. One, like, let's say, brute force way would be to visualize all the images plus prediction and see if your model is doing cool thing, let's say. Or you could also do another thing that would be extracting, let's say, all like the last 1,000 predictions and send them to a labeling solution or even a labeling yourself, and then compare like the ground truth with the prediction, like doing it fully supervised, but it would take a lot of time. Like that's the whole point of the monitoring, is because like we are computing some outlier scores and entropy scores on the prediction that will tell you if the image that are predicted looks a lot like the training set, if they are most likely well predicted, and also if the prediction are with a high entropy, meaning that you have a lot of noise in the prediction, it should mean that your model is underperforming or, let's say, predicting too many objects.
And then I guess one thing that you would often hear quite often is people would say, fail fast. Is this a case where if you don't know where to put your performance, you would just say, look, start running experiments and be prepared to fail fast and then see where you can go from there, whether it be start looking at the label data, whether it look at even the data collection sources?
Well, first, if you have a great validation set, you should know at least a bit if your model is performing well or not. And if you are not able to say this, even with the validation set, you should maybe rethink about how you build your validation set. That's the first thing. But also, you are right. It's better to have a model underperforming really fast so you can detect it. And the images that you are predicting in prediction, even if the predictions are not great, are like high value to add to the training set so you could improve the performances quite fast. So yeah, being able to detect that your model is underperforming really fast should be one good solution to improve your model fast also.
Yeah, so following that on, do you have any, without obviously telling us names of companies and clients, some sort of success stories that you have had recently with some companies? And I suppose you can talk about one, let's say one from a machine learning level of growth and an environment level of growth, but then also one where maybe you've given people a different idea about like work growth, like mentality around MLOps, CVOps, because yeah, a lot of people will tell me as well, I'm sure you get it a lot too, it's just a buzzword, right? I bet you that's what everyone said when microservices first came out, but I mean, they stuck around.
Yeah, I can. So we work with some startups in France dedicated in computer vision and video analytics. And we work with the company, we are actually working with a company called Skill Corner. They are specialized in football analysis. So they detect live during the match, like the number of passes, where the players were on the field and all of this. So they are obviously processing so many images, so many frames in the videos. And also they have so many data. So at the moment, they are using Pixelia to really store all the data and being able to pick the relevant data to add to the training sets. And also they have a really fun issue that they can handle with Pixelia is the jersey of the players. Because
I was just going to say, I know a good bit about this domain. I know the challenges. If someone's wearing number 17 and they're half cut, like sideways, it picks up 7, it might pick up 1. I know about that. And also there's a big issue when the football is not in play, but on the side of the pitch, it will start tracking multiple footballs.
Yeah, so that's one issue. And the other one is maybe the team of, let's say, the Paris Saint-Germain should play in blue for one season and the next year they will play in white. So they need to retrain their models every season. But they need to do it smartly because there are so many teams that they don't want to relabel all the data sets. So they need to be able to unsupervisedly detect the team who change their jerseys. And it's quite complicated to do. And they are doing it by detecting the outliers because they have the information on which teams they are tracking. And they know the outlier score that they are computing for every team. So when the outlier scores of the video is skyrocketing, it means that they should retrain their model for the new jerseys. That is quite tricky, but that's one use case quite cool we have on the platform at the moment that covers the whole platform, let's say.
Yeah.
And about the second case, we are working with companies that are, as you say, a little bit, let's say, less mature in AI. In fact, the CVOps world is really resonating for them because they know that they are a little bit behind, let's say, the schedule of AI and computer vision, and they want a fully integrated solution that will, let's say, shortcut them into computer vision in production. So that's why we are really focusing on the CVOps world, because it helps people that don't know anything about computer vision and ops to know that we are able to help them. And these companies are mainly in the heavy industries and have like visual inspection challenges, let's say, or things like that.
Nice, really good. And any sort of success stories around scale, performance increases? Again, you don't have to give the exact customer or what it was, but just to kind of give an idea of, I guess, not to say immediate value, but to put, if someone was to consider you guys, what's a return on investment, or what could a return on investment look like?
Well, we are seeing some great improvement in the number of retraining that companies are doing for their models. So that's one. It's kind of complicated to give a precise number of like the increase of performances, but the main thing that we can say, if they are retraining their model, they have models that are more relevant to the real world, I think. That's the first thing. And also we saw that once your model is starting to be monitored and the feedback loop is set up, you can increase your training sets by 3 times in 1 month. And that's really, really cool because it's like semi auto labeling, let's say, but you get to pick the image that you want to auto label. And you all are also able to know which images that are relevant. So the idea is not to increase with any type of images. That's another cool thing. And the last thing is really the centralization, because we saw so many companies that have like between like, let's say, 7 and 10 data scientists, and they were not even sure that everyone were working on the same data. So having one data lake when everyone can query and download the images is definitely a plus if you want to structure your company. The thing we saw the most is companies that have like between 2 and 3 computer vision engineers don't need so many tuning. But when you are starting to scale your team, you really need a platform that will help you organize all your work. It's like, I don't know, the sales guys have things like, I don't know, Notion or something. The devs use GitHub, and it's for obvious reasons. And for computer vision, it's the same. You need something that will help you organize and streamline your processes. So that's another thing, another reason why people are using the platform.
I wanna finish off then on one question then, Thibaut, not focused around Pixelia.
Yeah.
What do you see, or what do you see as an up and coming trend in AI computer vision?
So I might be wrong, but I think something that will be a big thing in the next year will be self-supervised learning, in my opinion, because we are seeing so many companies that are struggling with the data quantity for their models. And you have use cases that really needs data. And the self-supervised learning helps you to train on less, on like, let's say, little data sets to get the same performances. So that's one thing that I could see as a big trend coming in. I think the synthetic data industry is still let's say, in the process of being a commodity, but it's not yet a commodity. And a lot of companies would benefit from this. So I also see it as a big trend. I'm not the strongest believer in the transformers at the moment, but surely we will see some improvement in this area also, and we would converge into one architecture that will be as useful as CNN for images and obviously really good for NLP. So yeah, I would say self-supervised learning, synthetic data, and then transformers would be my three main trends.
Nice. Do you ever see you guys sort of linking up with some synthetic data companies to help with the early aspects of maybe data acquisition or data labeling and training?
Yeah, definitely. We are actively looking for companies that could integrate with us on this part. It's not in our roadmap to integrate this type of feature, so we are mainly looking for partners, to be honest. But yeah, definitely. Everything that could help people just kickstart their projects is something beneficial for both Pixelia and our partners in the synthetic data industry.
Yeah, no, look, sounds really good, and sounds really good for Pixelia in the future. Sounds exciting for what could be, well, I would have said ML ops, but putting it down to you guys, the CV ops future, because I want to see CV ops. I've always seen use it, the first people I've seen talking about it. I see massive value being added to people who are using ML ops. So I'd love to see it bring the same value to the computer vision space. But yeah, I mean, I think that takes us up to the time for this episode. So for everyone listening, this is the Computer Vision in Production podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Kelly. Today's guest was Thibaut Lucas, who is a co-founder and CEO at Pixelia. Thibaut, great to have you on the show. If people are looking to find you, are looking to check out Pixelia, where should you send them?
Well, I think LinkedIn is the main way to contact me. And also, if you want to, I don't know, apply for jobs or things like that, you could do it directly on the website. We have a contact us page. Yeah. I think LinkedIn would be the best. I'm sure maybe you would put a link in the description or something, but it's just that Thibaut Lucas, and the headline is MLOps plus Computer Vision equals CV Ops. Quite easy.
Okay. Well, look, Thibaut, I appreciate it. Thank you for being a guest, and chat soon.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Computer Vision in Production podcast with your host, Anthony Kelly. To make sure you get updates on the latest episodes of the show, make sure you subscribe on your preferred podcast listening app or add me on LinkedIn.